Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, it's soft-spoken Nikki Glaser, the host of the U Up podcast, the one that you're listening to. Hey, I just want to let you know before we get into the podcast, I am going on tour in 2020, starting January 24th. We're kicking things off in Boston, ending things in Orlando at some point in April or May. A lot of cities in between, and I want you there. It's my first theater tour. It's a big deal for me. It's the Bang It Out tour. Now, you can get tickets right now for a special price because you are my biggest fans if you use code BANGIN, B-A-N-G-I-N, at checkout. Go to NikkiGlaser.com/tour for all the tour dates, but I want to see you there. I hope you buy a meet and greet so we can talk in person. I love you so much for listening to this podcast. You guys are my truest fans, and I want you to get these tickets before they sell out because, bitch, I'm blowing up, and these shows are going to sell out. So get on it now. It's a great Christmas gift. It's a great birthday gift. Come alone to the shows if you can't find friends. Go alone. It'll be so much fun. You'll meet someone. I'm already connecting two people that are going alone to my Tampa shows, and I'm so excited that I might have made a love connection. But go get tickets. It's the Bangin' Out Tour, NikkiGlaser.com/tour. And check out all the dates. Use code BANGIN for special pricing. And also, why don't you watch my Netflix special, Bangin', now available. October 1st, it launched. It was this week. It was very exciting. The feedback I've been getting is so great. I'm sure you guys have already seen it because you love me. But if you haven't, watch it this weekend and then Bang It Out tour.
I have a baggage claim for
Brian. Oh, no. I almost got through this whole podcast without an announcement from the flight attendant. And by the way, podcast, no. There's a lot of announcements from flight attendants later on in the show, but I wanted to get through this little intro part, and I did it. Let's start the show. Hey, guys. Welcome to the podcast. This is the U Up podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Glaser. You know me. Oh, God. I'm so sorry about these announcements that are going to be happening. I just can't help it. I'm at the airport. This is the only time I could record this. I recorded a whole podcast in my Uber on the way here, and it didn't save. So that was devastating. I told you guys a lot of stuff, a lot of things to go through. I've had a couple interesting last couple days in Los Angeles. Came out here to do Joe Rogan's podcast. Worth it. Built a whole trip around it. It was so much fun. I went there yesterday and I got to play with his dog for about a half hour before we even started recording. And I don't usually like golden retrievers. I'm just kind of over them. I feel like I'm like, I get it. You get all the attention in the world. You're the best dog. Everyone wants you. They get enough love. I'm usually just like, pass. I'll move on to a rescue animal. And then, I don't know, this dog, I mean, I wasn't going to have that attitude with Joe Rogan's dog, no matter what it was, but I swear to God, this dog, we locked eyes, and it just came bounding towards me like it knew me, and then it just let me snuggle it and hug it so much, and it, like, was so clean. Rich people's dogs are so clean. I mean, I hate, whenever I pet a dog, I love petting dogs, but my hand is ruined. I just have to, like, hold it outside my body until I can find a place to wash it for, like, however long that takes. If you're Andrew Collin, it could take a lifetime, but doesn't wash his hands. We all know that. But I just really hate dog dander. And this dog, I was getting in, and my hands, I could have licked them. This dog was the cleanest animal I've ever seen in my life, and it was so much fun. I just was like in love with it. And then we took a picture afterwards. There's a really sweet picture that Joe posted on his Instagram of me with the dog, and that I was just saying goodbye to him because I just spent so much time with this dog, like getting affection, and it was just so needed. I was craving animal affection yesterday. Human, animal. Humans are animals. But listen, when you can't get human, you take a dog. And that sounds like I'm fucking dogs, but no, that's, I don't do that anymore. No, it was just really nice. I needed it. And then I was saying goodbye to the dog, and he got the biggest boner, which flattered. No, the dog had a red rocket because it was, like, comfortable or whatever. Or horny. I don't know. It wasn't, I'm not taking it personally. Maybe I should. But this dog had the hugest dick ever, and it looked like it was crazy. I was like, Joe, your dog has such a big penis. And of course Joe Rogan's dog has a big dick. I mean, this dog leads the best. It literally has the best life of any creature on planet Earth. All it does is play and exercise and run and podcast. It has its own podcast. I'm doing it next time I come in town, if they can fit me in. God, I hate these announcements. They take too long. The woman's voice is annoying. As I speak with my annoying voice. My voice is so shot, dude. It's so shot. I've been talking too much. I did a podcast that didn't even record today. I talked to Joe Rogan for 3 hours yesterday. Then this morning, I had to wake up and do a radio tour, which is where you sit on the phone and your publicist patches you into different radio stations. I did, I think, 12 radio stations, 10 minutes each, and just one after the next, no break in between. So it was 2 hours of constant talking. And, like, you know, you can't really get a conversation flowing for 10 minutes. So it's 2 hours of, like, hi, guys. Thank you. Good to be here. Like, just, you know, boring pleasantries. And let me say, like, I was not happy with how that radio tour went. I love doing radio. I talked about Joe yesterday. I love going into different morning radio stations and seeing what their dynamic is and trying to fit in and trying to, you know, shock them a little bit and having fun. And just, it's fun to go in and just make an impression and kind of take over. And I'm really good at radio, so they're always, like, grateful to have me there because I'll say funny stuff and we all have a good time. I have great relationships with so many morning shows around the country. I've been doing it for 10 years, you know. I've been doing comedy for 16 years, but I've been on radio regularly for 10. And then this tour, I mean, I was calling these stations, or they were being, you know, I was being patched through these stations. I would say 7 out of the 12, all these guys had to watch my special in preparation for the interview. Or at least they were told to, and some of them did and some of them didn't. But most of them did. And I got to say, so many of these dudes introduced me as Nikki Glaser. What a mess. What's going on with you, girl? What's happening? You're falling apart. And I'm like, okay, even if you think my material makes me seem like I'm falling apart or I'm such a mess or my life is in disarray or I'm depressed and crazy, can you just kind of acknowledge the fact that putting together an hour of material and having it be cohesive and joke, 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 and tell a story is impressive, even if you think the content is crazy? Would a crazy person be able to do that? Perhaps. But can you just say something nice? There was this one guy, and he legit was just, like, not being nice to me. He started off calling me a mess, and I go, you're projecting, but that's fine. You think you're a mess, and you were triggered by my special, but nice to talk to you guys. How are you doing? And then that was awkward, but I just was, like, tired and at my wit's end with these fucking shock jocks who are threatened by a funny woman or whatever it is, or a highly sexual woman because they're not getting laid in their own loveless marriages, and so they're resentful of me. I don't know what it was, but I had some bad energy from a lot of these guys this morning, and I really hated it. But this one guy could not give me a compliment to save my life about my special. He was just like, and I watched the special, and wow, it's a lot, man. That's a lot. You know, they do this thing where they're like, don't watch this special with your kids. Don't watch it with your grandparents. And it's like, who is watching comedy specials with their children? Or with their grandparents? I'm sorry. It's like, I'm sorry to take away precious time from you with your 2-year-old. But, like, why is it that I bet people that make rated R movies don't hear, don't watch this with your kid. Yeah, it's rated R. Why would I watch it with my kid? It's just so annoying. Don't watch this with your parents. Do you watch comedy specials with your parents? If you do, you're cool. But, like, most people don't. So you don't even need to say that. It's just a way of making me feel like I'm dirty or wrong or somehow different than the rest of the comedians. Whatever. I'm obviously insecure about it, or else this wouldn't bother me so much. Whenever you're upset and someone makes you upset, you should analyze why it's making you so upset. And it's probably because you secretly feel that what they think about you is true. Deep in your heart, deep in your soul. So yeah, anyway, so this guy goes, so I watched your special, pretty good. But I gotta say, we gotta talk about the roast of Alec Baldwin. I mean, that was incredible. You killed. You absolutely destroyed. And I go, that's interesting, because when you started that sentence, I didn't know you were capable of giving a compliment, but turns out you can. Oh my gosh, a bomb dog is sniffing my bag right now. That's so cute. He's so happy. He didn't find anything, but like, he definitely sniffed my backpack and gave it a good old sniffin. I want to pet that fucking dog so bad, but he has a collar on, or a thing on that says, do not pet. I'm not going to touch you. I want to. Bye. Okay, please. Please. Give it a pet on behalf of me. Thank you, sir. Thank you. This guy just pet the dog for me because he's a security guard. That was really nice. So anyway, that guy pissed me off. I go, it looks like you're capable of a compliment. And then his radio team was like dead air because I insulted their boss, you know, like they're the co-hosts. And this guy is like, hey, Chuck, Jeff, or whatever the fuck his name was. God, I hated that guy. Any guy that, like, tells me I'm a mess, just, you're so threatened, and you're so miserable, and you are dying to fuck me, probably. I don't know if that's the case, but I'd like to think so, you know? I'd like to think so. The show this week was so fun to do. We started off in New York City, 3 shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then, why is there music blaring? Okay, because I'm at a Southwest gate, and they're having a putt-putt competition that they need music for, I guess. Why am I so mad? People are just having fun. I just want to tape a goddamn podcast. Oh, I'm watching a girl eat a sandwich too, and she is tucking into it. Oh, she's pregnant. God, to have an excuse to eat a sandwich. Unburdened. I need to eat for two. I actually did treat myself to a coffee bean and tea leaf ice blended. And I don't think they're vegan. I didn't check. The powder might have a little bit of dairy in it, and I feel bad about that, but I just needed it. My throat hurts so bad. And I wanted to feel icy cold goodness. You know? Down my throat. It feels so good. I'm just like, my throat hurts. I'm trying to talk from a different part of my body, from my head and my face, from my face and my nose. That's where the sound's supposed to come from now. If I talk like that, this is how it sounds. But it has to be a very conscious effort. And I sound like robot. But I talk too much from... Oh, someone just scored a hole-in-one. That was the cheering you heard. Guys, what's going on? Some other stuff that happened on my LA trip. I did Joe Rogan's show. I went to go see a bird. Not a bird, but some birds. I really needed animal affection yesterday, like I said. And I got it with Joe Rogan's dog, thank God. Because I went to a bird shop right after Joe Rogan's show. Because I wanted to go just like pet some birds and hang out with some birds. You know, I'm a bird girl. Bird girl. And I went to go just like see some parrots. I was going to buy them some toys. So I justified going to the shop and not buying anything. And they were closed. And I was devastated. And I went and got a foot massage, and it was the worst foot massage I've ever had in my life. He used so much lotion. It was like slippery. I was slipping around in my shoes all night. I couldn't get the lotion off my feet. And he wouldn't do harder pressure. I kept saying harder, harder, and he would not change at all. And he just shook his head no. So I don't know what that was about. But it was only $15 for a half hour. I mean, that is criminal. Tipped him $10. I'm a good person. Let's get to the first show of the week, Monday show. God, this was a fun one. Josh Gondelman was in studio. Josh Gondelman has won Emmys for his writing on Last Week Tonight, HBO's Last Week Tonight. He currently works at Desus and Mero, and he currently has a book out called Nice Try, which is a collection of essays. It's kind of like he's like a modern day David Sedaris, or I guess a younger David Sedaris for a new generation. Just hilarious joke writer, packed with hilariousness. I've already read 2 chapters. I loved it. Did I bring it with me? No, I think I left it in New York. But I really recommend this book if you like humorist writings. He's written for The New Yorker, New York Times, and he has a new book out, Nice Try, Josh Gondelman. And Anya Marina. The thing about Josh Gondelman, and the reason his book's called Nice Try, is because he's so nice That's like what he's known for, is just being the nicest guy in comedy. He's also known for brilliant joke writing, but anyone who knows him is like, that guy is the nicest guy you've ever met. And he legitimately, I would put him at the top three nicest people I've ever met in my life. And I asked him about that. I'm like, how have you, as this nice guy, not gotten trapped in the friend zone more? How are you married? How have you had so many girlfriends? How does that happen? How do you transition from being a nice guy to be taken seriously sexually? And he kind of explained that. And I was aroused. No, I wasn't. But it was interesting. I discovered a lot of things about men and dating. This whole podcast this week is about dating. All of my guests, I mean, obviously I'm thinking about a lot. It's usually a topic that comes up a couple times in the podcast every week. But every clip this week is about dating. And I'm excited to walk you through it. So here's Monday's episode with Josh Gondelman and Anya Marina. Have you been friend zoned before? Or have women just been like, oh, how do you shift between those two?
I think you have to.
Because a lot of guys listening are nice guys and get friend zoned. I myself get friend zoned. What would be your advice?
One, it's very nice to have friends. I'm like very pro friendship. Yes. That's like a thing. Uh-huh. And being married is like a very liberating thing for friendship, because I'm never trying to hook up with someone. So I'm always, I mean, other than my wife.
Sure.
But like, I'm never like trying to like hook up or flirt with strangers. So like when I meet someone, I feel like this incredible clarity of purpose of like, this is either business or friendship, and there's no weird ulterior motive. So I like love friends.
But before.
Yes. So before it was different. And I think there are some, when I was younger, in my like teens and early 20s, when I was dating, I had people tell me that I was too nice. And I think I say it in the book too, but it's like, that's just a euphemism for like, I'm not really interested in fucking you, but you seem sweet. And that's totally fine. But I also think I got that less as I became older, because I was nice, but not nice in a boundaryless way, nice in like a comfortable way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have gotten increasingly comfortable with who I am as a person, and that's made it a little easier. And I think it like reads less as too nice and more just like, if you're, and you also kind of like, this is what you're signing up for. Mm-hmm. I'm like a very soft man with the posture of a croissant. So like it's like, if that's not what you're into, if you're not into like a very gentle person who's like also a wise ass, then it's like, it's okay that I am not for you. And yes. And it's been that way. And so like, I think being nice, but like having a sense of like, this is who I am. And it's like, I don't need this other person, right? If I'm nice and they're not into it, that's like, okay, because I am sufficient.
That's great.
That's just healthy.
Yeah, you know, you like, sound incredibly healthy.
You know, if you don't want me, I don't want you either.
That's
not
okay.
Saying I don't want, but it's just, it's okay.
Yeah, it's, I'm not okay that you don't have the same interest.
And it's like he trusts the process of his life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not like, I'm doomed. You sort of, it sounds like you see this whole, leading up until Maris, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, leading up until her, it sounds like you were just sort of like, okay, well, that didn't work out. That's all right. It's not like this is the end of my life.
I got a lot better at that. I had like breakups, you know, like you do when you're like in your teens and your, 20s, breakups that are not like, they don't alter the course of your life, but they feel like they're going to. Mm-hmm. And I like just had less of that as I got older, where I was like, man, this is really sad. Like but I also got better at being like, well, the time we spent together was very worthwhile, and like, it's okay that we're not together now.
Yeah. It's just trusting that it's just going to work out the way it should, and reflecting on your life and realizing. I was talking to someone last night who's going through a pretty bad breakup right now, and I've seen him go through other breakups, and I reminded him, I had forgotten about it, but I was reminded of it watching how sad he was. I was like, I've seen you this sad. I was like, remember your last breakup? Yeah. And he was like, yes. And I was like, and you got like, remember that it passes.
Yeah.
And that you are so grateful for that breakup now, because it led you to this girl that you're now upset about now. I mean, can't you project into the future and know that
this could,
literally
this
every rejection I've ever had and every rejection anyone's ever had leads to a million things that wouldn't have happened had that not happened. And it's so hard in the moment to know that, but it is good.
And I feel really grateful that like the really painful breakups in the past were like, I can look back and be like, oh, I like, that's not a person that I wanted to be. I could have been compatible with forever, yes. or like even longer term than we were. And like now I'm with Maris, who's my wife, and I love her so much. And I'm like, so we're so compatible. And I like just like love being with her every day. And yeah. it doesn't like, I think if she left, it would certainly destroy me. But everyone yeah. else, you know.
Can I ask, how did you know when you wanted to marry her?
The rubric that I developed, which is so fucking hot to say. just like, nothing gets people horny like the word rubric. But like, a thing that I tried to ask myself in relationships as I was like more of an adult is like, do I want this person around as much as possible? Mm-hmm. And that was it. It was like, I just want to be with her as much as I can. Like when I'm hanging out at home on the couch and like working, it's like nicer when she's there. Yeah. And when I'm like going out with friends, it's like more fun when she's also there. And like going to movies, like all that stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, it's so.
That's the rubric.
It's so great.
That's the rubric. Yeah. Yeah.
That was Monday's show. Welcome back. Heading into Tuesday's show, I'm walking around my gate, my Southwest gate, taking a Southwest flight to St. Louis. I'm so excited to go home, see my dogs, who I gave away over a year and a half ago. They're not my dogs anymore. I doubt they're even going to... Luigi might not even let me sleep with him. I am going to take him from my sister's house and have him at my parents' house with me in my old childhood bedroom. And I will force him to sleep in my bed and snuggle with me. Yeah, I'm going to force him. He doesn't have a choice, and I will not ask for his consent. So, yeah, deal with that, PETA. No, I'm so excited to see Luigi. I'm so excited to see Marion. I'm so excited to see Poppy, my niece, my little niece who was born in May 6 months ago. I know it was 6 months ago because May was the last time I had sex. And Joe Rogan asked me that yesterday when I had sex last. And it was May, and he added it up, and it was 6 months ago. So, that's nice. If I just never have sex again, I'll always know how old my niece is because it's the same age as my born-again virginity. Oh, I need to get laid. And you guys know me. It ain't going to happen unless I have a boyfriend. Just ain't going to happen. And by the way, I could always be convinced. Always could be. I might throw that in the fucking... I literally, like... I have all these rules for myself when it comes to sex and dating, but I would, if you get me horned up enough, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. But it hasn't really been hard to stand by these rules because no one gets me horned up enough. No one. I've got a lot of slides from guys after my Joe Rogan appearance. They want to teach me jujitsu. They want to go down on me. They're young. Because I talked about dating young guys on Joe Rogan's podcast, and a bunch slid in yesterday. I mean, I got a fucking high school in my DMs. Jesus Christ. Very flattered, very flattered. All of age, but, you know, young. And I'm 35, and it feels weird. But who knows what I'm going to do. Stay tuned. Stay with the podcast. Things are going to be interesting this year. I'm forcing myself out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to start dating again. I just need stories. I need some life experience. And my vagina is atrophying. So it's going to happen. Anyway, speaking of sex, I hung out with two female comics, friends of mine. So hilarious. Carlisle Forrester and Leah Lamar. I posted them on my Instagram story today, clips of theirs, because I really want these girls to be working. So if you are listening to the podcast and you're someone who runs a comedy club or has any connections to get people stage time, these are two women that should be working regularly, hosting, featuring, whatever you can give them. They deserve work. And I try to give them as much as possible. At least Carlisle, she opens for me a lot. Leah, I got to fit her in. It's just like I don't have enough stage time to give away with Andrew opening for me everywhere. But... my point is these girls need stage time. They want to get better. That's the only way you get better as a comedian. And I'm really upset because last night we all hung out together and they were both individually hanging out with me and then we all came together. They don't talk every day because if they did talk every day, they would have realized sooner than last night that both of them were being text messaged by a guy who runs a couple comedy rooms. He's the booker for them. And... he's dangling the same gig in front of both these women. It's like when two girls hang out and they realize they're fucking the same guy. And they're like, that's scumbag. These girls both realize that they were being asked about hosting for the same weekend of shows at the same club, which you can't have two hosts on a show. So this guy was dangling a gig that both of them, neither of them maybe, could have gotten. But he was waiting to actually confirm the gig with either of them until he figured out which one was going to fuck him. And it was very clear from the text messages that that's where it was going. It started off very professional. Send me a tape. This is a great club. It's a great weekend to work. Glad to have you. And then it moved to a smoke show like you needs to... It just got sexual and gross. And it was like he was grooming them to then kind of trust him. And then he started being sexual. And it was so disgusting. And both of them were trying to be nice because they want to work. And they were trying to, like, ignore it and brush it off. And I had to, like, kind of shake them because I've needed that too in the past. When I was starting out in comedy, men would want to have sex with me. And so they would try to book me on things, and they would be professional at first, and then it would get sexual. They'd slip in little comments here and there, very innocuous, that didn't feel safe, and then eventually it would lead to them, like, you know, straight up being really gross. And you put up with it, and it's like, even at the slightest inkling of that shit now, I shut it down. And so yesterday I took my friend's phone and I just texted the guy, "Lose my number, please," because he was being disgusting. He was talking about a past ex of hers who he had heard she had done stuff with and was like, "I like what you do. Maybe he could pass the baton to me," like referring to her as a baton. It was disgusting. So then later on in the night, I find out that this guy is doing this to two of my friends. And I snapped. I got their permission, Leah and Carlisle's permission, because they didn't want to at first because they want these gigs. And they were like, "It's okay." And I go, "No, it's not okay. I'll give you some gigs. I'll shout you out on my podcast. I'll get you work. So give these girls work because this guy fucking sucks and he runs a lot of rooms and he's disgusting. So give these girls work." Carlisle Forster, Leah Lamar, I wrote the guy and I go, "Stop dangling gigs for female comics while also trying to fuck them. Just stop it, please." That's all I said. I woke up this morning to paragraphs upon paragraphs. I mean, he's still DMing me, and I'm ignoring all of them. I don't care. I don't want to hear an excuse. I saw what I saw. There's no excuse. This guy is obviously doesn't know what he did was wrong, or he thinks that he's innocent. He's calling them crazy. You know, all the same bullshit, but I'm sick of it. And you know what? When I see it, I'm calling it out. I'm going to make you stop, and I'm going to make you think about what you've done. And I'm not going to stand. I'm going to stand up for these girls because, you know, I'm in a position now of power in comedy where I feel powerful enough to be able to stand up to these guys because I haven't always. And these girls definitely don't feel that way. And not because they shouldn't, but because, you know, they're up and coming comedians. No one knows who they are. These guys can take advantage of them and you know what this causes? It's not like hurt, like, "Oh, I'm not going to get to go on stage." Both of these girls were so fucking angry. We were all so angry. It caused anger because when a guy takes advantage of you and doesn't give a fuck about you and just wants to fuck you and use you, this guy didn't even watch their tapes, I'm sure. He's worthless. And they work so hard on their comedy. These girls take it really seriously. They're both so funny. They're going to eclipse me in fame and notoriety someday. I'm just sure of it. But it's just we were angry. And when a guy touches your butt to move you in a crowded bar, or touches my backside when we're taking a picture at a meet and greet, or says something gross like "stay beautiful" when they hold the door open for you, like it's some sort of threat, like, "If I don't stay beautiful, are you gonna keep the door shut for me, sir?" You know what? Don't hold the door. I could open it myself. I don't need your little comment. "Stay beautiful." I remember when that guy said that to me. I was 24, I think. And I've been working every day to stay beautiful for that man who held the door for me at Subway. Because if I don't, how am I going to get in Subway? But every time, every one of these little tiny rapes happen. They're tiny, tiny rapes. And I don't mean to marginalize rape by saying that. But it's just, it's on the spectrum of rapey shit. It causes anger. It's not sadness. It's like this fucking anger that you just... It was just an interesting feeling to see all of us get so angry yesterday. So it's not healthy. We need to address it. We need to, you know, we need to call it out. And I'll call it out. So if you're a girl out there who has some slimy-ass dude trying to fuck you and dangling stage time, DM me and let me know, and I'll put a stop to it as best I can because I'm sick of it. Let's get to Tuesday's show. I got to board my plane. Tuesday's show was, again, Leah Lamar and Carlisle Forster. They're the best, and they did not want me to even... I got their permission to talk about it on the podcast, but they did not want me to blow this up. They're not looking to, like, cause a Me Too movement. They just want to work. They just want to work. Okay, let's see. Tuesday's show. Okay, let's get into it. Anya Marina, Ian Fidance, and George Resch, a.k.a. Tank Sinatra on Instagram. You should follow him if you're not already following him. He has millions of followers. But they were all in studio, and we were talking about texting versus phone call versus FaceTime when you're dating. I don't even remember this conversation. This was such a good show. There was so much good content that day. But I love George Resch. What a cool guy. Listen to his show. He has a podcast. It's like Filling the Tank or Tanks on Empty. Just go to Tank Sinatra on Instagram. And this guy is a meme maker. He's a meme generator, and he's fucking hilarious. And he's also a stand-up comic. But he's also a really woke-ass dude. I loved him. George Resch, Anya Marina, Ian Fidance, Tuesday show. Here we go.
The good point. What? Anya Marina.
I killed a relationship.
Hijacked my phone once.
For her.
Even worse than Will?
It was Will and Anya.
Yeah,
we and they came up
dream
with
dream team.
Oh, was I there that night?
They responded to Nick Viall, who we were having flirty banter. And he said, "I laughed really loud. I laughed really hard at your set," or something like that. And Anya goes, "I love a hard laugher." And then silence.
He ghosted her.
As he should have.
I wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah. What do you say to that?
I don't know.
I would have lost my reply job.
Well, oh, absolutely. She was fired on the spot.
I was. But it was my fault. I brought it back, I feel like, recently.
Yeah, you guys have been texting guys for me and helping me with text to men, and you've been killing it.
The sad thing is that men appreciate really dumb
responses.
Oh, God. So I have a question, a dating question.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going back to you, by the way. Okay. Don't forget.
You guys don't talk on the phone when you get, like, introduced to somebody?
No.
Excellent question.
Great question.
I like it.
I want Nikki to be talking on the phone more with these guys. Or I actually want her to have more face-to-face contact. She hasn't met a lot of them yet.
What, with wearing a fucking earpiece talking to you?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Cyrano.
You know?
No, I just want to see these
fucking
guys.
Fucking all impractical jokers. Yeah. In the background.
See if these guys can be captivating in real life.
Listen, I'm open to that. And what am I supposed to do? What do you mean? Like, what people would you suggest,
like,
I
you know,
see
the other day when one of these guys asked if he could FaceTime you?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to say, like, sure.
I would draw the line on a FaceTime.
We had only been texting for one day.
My son FaceTimed me this morning. I was like, fuck.
I know, even that.
Yeah, I don't want to FaceTime.
Well, how about
look at my face? I don't want to see my face.
I know, that's the problem. You got to look at your own face. But I've said this before in the show, but this checks out. Oh, there's Kevin Smith. Guys who like to FaceTime often are narcissists because they like looking at themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
And I didn't know that. I was just like, oh my God, he wants to get to know me. And then I was like, oh wait, look at his eye line.
Well, you could write back that I'd love to talk on the phone. I can't FaceTime right now, but I'd love to talk on the phone tomorrow.
Yeah, phone talking is great.
I know.
You can hear their energy and their intonation and get to know 80% of what they're going to be like.
Absolutely.
And it's so like, oh wow, oh, everything's flying quick.
What are you on?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So I couldn't sleep last night. My cat kept me up, so I got like 5 espresso shots in my coffee.
Everything's flying
jacked.
Quick.
I don't know what that means.
Because you got to respond fast. In a text, you take time
Absolutely,
to respond.
Ian.
And so you got to be on the ball, and then you get off the phone, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know? You're so right.
You're like,
I had to
war.
Turn down my headphones because...
Sorry. He's a hypercat.
The voices in your head are screaming at me.
Really? I got a lot going on.
Yeah. No, you're amazing today. I love your energy. I'm just giving you shit. No, it's... You're right. The phone becomes immediately so much more intimate than texting, and you're absolutely right. It is... It's an immediate back and forth. You don't have time to... I don't have time to open up my notes and draft a text and send it to my friends and then analyze his and make him wait and have the little bubbles come up and have them go away and watch his little bubbles come up.
Wow.
It's all like...
It's almost like it's natural and not manipulated.
I'll tell you off air why I don't think it... Well, here's the thing. I'm glad the other night when this guy tried to FaceTime me that I did not engage with that because it felt too soon.
Yeah.
I didn't feel comfortable. Like, if I would have wanted to, I would have done it. But there are sometimes I feel like it. This is what I'm always talking about in therapy, and I never have the answer for it. Everyone says, trust your instincts. If it doesn't feel good, go with that. When do you go, but are my instincts afraid? And should I fight those instincts to challenge myself? So people go, just be yourself and do what feels nice. And then other times it's like, challenge yourself. You know, and I don't want to keep doing, you know, repeating the same patterns in relationships. So part of me goes, am I feeling turned off by this because I'm scared, or am I feeling turned off by this because I'm actually turned off? And that is a constant. I will never have the answer to it. I might never have the answer to that. Does that make sense?
Yes. I just had that in the last relationship I was in, and a friend of mine recently berated me because I had not enjoyed the first kiss with this person, yet he was great in so many other ways. And I thought, you know, I've been picking all these kind of bad dudes. Why don't I choose a good guy who's nice? He's texting me after every day. I'd like to see you again. Let's go out next week. He pays for me. He makes me feel great. But like, the chemistry wasn't there. And I'm like, just give it time. A lot of my friends said, like, yeah, give it a few more dates, maybe.
Classic.
And then we did end up breaking up.
Classic good guy. Like, he's a good guy. He's treating you well. Stay with it. Which I don't think is bad advice.
Yeah, and I just thought, you know what? I'm glad I stuck it out the 8 weeks. That's not too much of my life to lose. Really not bad. I've wasted years before with people. And they were like, you know, 7 or 8 red flags. And I was like, that's enough red flags for me. I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, chemistry you can't create. It's just you have to figure out if things that are going to hurt you are getting your chemistry going. If that's the case, if like negative things get you excited, then that's something to look at.
Yeah, you can't change a Bunsen burner when the chemistry don't work.
Right.
George, I think you're absolutely right. I feel like if you, Ian, no one knew what that meant.
That's what you use in chemistry. You ever take chem?
You can't just use chemistry terms and then talk about romance.
Yeah. You can't get a paramecium to...
Wow.
Sometimes you're trying to analyze things through an electron microscope and you zoom in too far.
Okay, guys, I just, that was Tuesday's show. I got to get to Wednesday's show fast because I'm on a plane and they keep making announcements. It's boarding and it's really annoying for you guys to hear that. So Wednesday's show was Matt Fultron, Andrew Collin, and Nate Craig. Nate Craig is getting married next week or in next month. And I'm always interested to hear how people met. Oh, shut up, you dumb bitch. This is how Nate Craig met his wife, and it kind of blew my mind. I'm sorry I called the woman talking a dumb bitch, but, like, kind of a dumb bitch. Enjoy the show. Wednesday show, Nate Craig. How he met his wife, Matt Fultron, Andrew Collin. I don't know. I'm learning from all of these stories about... I can't wait to tell the story about how I meet my wife. Here we go.
I want Greg Fitzsimmons' marriage.
I don't know his wife, but I know Greg.
That's a good relationship.
They've been married a long time too.
Yeah, and he still like, you know, sexualizes her and is like, I threw a move on the wife last night. Like, he still like talks about her like she's like slutty and like just like so.
Like he like, just met her.
Yeah, it's hot. I love that. That's Howard off. Stern and Beth. I want their relationship. So there's examples of it, but truly, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you just gotta go.
I want what you have.
You just
I really
work
like
for somebody.
This.
I mean, my whole reality got turned upside down. I met somebody that I was like, oh my. And well, first of all, we also made it through
a hard time.
We made it through some bullshit where we kind of neither of us were serious. We just neither of us thought that it was gonna happen.
Mm.
And so
were you together or were you just fucking
around?
We were
just fucking, and then it was like it became like but let's fuck and drink a bottle of wine and cook dinner and then spend the half of the next day together. And then it was like, oh, I'm out of town for 2 weeks, but then when I get back, I for sure we're gonna do that, right? Yeah, we'll do that. And then it was like, and then it would go like we wouldn't communicate because we weren't, you know, friends yet or whatever, and then we were communicating when we weren't with around
so
each other.
So it was just sexual. It started out just sexual.
Just sexual, yeah.
Did you meet? Tell me again how you met.
I followed her out of yoga.
That's right. That's right. And how
shit
quickly were
up.
You guys banging?
Well, no, she had a boyfriend, and then I was, and then well, no, I asked her what her name was. Found her online. Boyfriend was in the profile picture. Didn't fuck with it.
Yeah.
Like eight or six months later, I was like, hey, you guys should come. I had a 4th of July party. I was like, you guys should come to my 4th. Bring your guy. Come. It's awesome. Because at that point, she was just the chicken yoga that I saw.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is it's okay to stalk someone if you're good looking.
Amen.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, I'm not going to say it wasn't creepy.
And so as soon as you saw that she was not in a relationship.
Didn't want to know part of it.
As soon as, yeah, you want to know part of it.
Want to know part of it.
Tell me again how you eventually got together, though.
I invited her and her to my 4th of July party. I said, bring your boyfriend. She's like, well, I actually don't have a boyfriend anymore.
And then that was it.
Boom.
Off to the races. Yep. And you banged that night.
She came to the party with her friends. And then I was like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm going to be cleaning up. I'll make you dinner and we'll drink.
That's a date.
Do you see the genius of this man, though?
That's a date.
He proposed on July 4th, too.
I did.
Am I getting this right?
Yeah.
Cute.
It is.
Good job, also buddy. Made her clean up on your first date.
Real nice of you. Get used to not coming and cleaning
my
up.
Carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she, was she into you after
that? Hey, let's wash each other's
Did she want to be more than that? I mean, was there a time where you were like, easy? Or were you both on the same page of like, we just fuck each other when we can and it's casual?
I think we both knew we liked each other. I mean, we both were.
But was she waiting by her phone, waiting for you to call? Would be sad when you leave town, stuff like that.
I mean, I claim that she was now in for fun.
Did you feel any kind of pressure from her along the way to like be more than just fuck buddies?
At one point, there was. You know, you reach moments as if the relationship gets more and more.
Yeah.
You're just closer. You just know somebody better and so there's more at stake really just by virtue of
But I'm wondering if she was the one to bring it up or if you were, because the way you presented it initially, it was just like, oh no, I wanted to see her more.
She did. She came to my house, we sat down in my kitchen and she was like, I think I get the feeling that you don't care about this at all.
Mm.
And I was like, all right. Because in a sense, she was right. I was keeping her at arm's length just because I was like, this chick deserves everything she wants. I'm not prepared to give that to her. I will pull the chute.
Yeah.
If I have to keep this girl from being a fuckboy in this girl's life.
Yeah, but you were on acid, dude.
Well, no, that didn't. I mean, we didn't take acid.
I love that because, listen to what he's saying, women that are listening.
Is it a timing thing,
this
though?
This woman showed enough virtue and showed enough self-respect, and he respected her enough and knew that she was her own person that he didn't want to be a fuckboy in her life. So he was willing to either, he knew that he had to either commit or let her go because when a guy is willing to remain a fuckboy in a girl's life, he doesn't respect her. He doesn't think she has much virtue. Clearly, Nate saw this woman as someone who could have anything she wants in life and could get it. And you, there's something to be said for that. When a woman fucks around and is like, and if a guy mistreats you, it's because he doesn't like care about you. And so you were willing, the second you thought you might be mistreating her, or she might get her feelings hurt, you're like, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, I would rather have no longer enjoyed her company and all the wonderful things that came with that than disrespect her.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. So then what did you decide in that moment? Like, it sounds like you were gonna take a step back.
I was like, okay, listen. I mean, we went through some shit. Like, she saw a text she shouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
And from like some fucking chick that I hadn't fucked in like months out of nowhere. It was like on a Sunday afternoon, this chick didn't get laid that weekend. It was like, I'm naked. Come over now. I was like, fuck, get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
we were reading an article on my phone.
Oh, no.
And it came up on my phone.
Nate.
Oh, dude. It was
airplane
awful.
Mode, baby.
It was awful. It was awful. And I was like, and then she, but it was like, we were non-committal. She wasn't asking anything. She's very much a selfless, honest, self-aware, objective woman.
All right, moving right along. I'm still in the tarmac. They're making announcements all the time. I want to get this done before that DB talks again. Remember what that stands for? I feel bad I called her a dumb bitch. She's just trying to do her job, and so am I. This is a goddamn job. Moving right into Thursday's show was so fun. Carlisle Forrester, comedian Matt Rife, go look at him on Instagram, ladies. This guy's sliding into my DMs trying to take me out.
I don't know if he's trying to take me out, but he's into me, and it feels nice. He's so hot. He's so cute. I'm entertaining it, but he's young. He's 24, and we talk about that. But it was so much fun with them. Regardless, I just love both these guys because they were just... It was just the best show yesterday. I was in L.A. I came here just for the day to do Joe Rogan's podcast later on, and had a lot of fun with Matt Rife. Oh, this dumb dick. Shut up, pilot. Shut up. No one needs to hear the temperature in St. Louis. No one needs to hear the direction of the fucking wind. No one cares. Stop talking. We get it. You're a pilot and you feel powerful. Stop it. Okay, good. He listened. Anyway, this is Matt Rife, Carlisle Forrester, talking about older ladies dating younger men. Relevant.
Whenever I have a strong reaction to something that makes me, like Chappelle's joke about there's no such thing as good 36-year-old pussy.
Both Glaze and I were very triggered
Every
by that.
Every girl near that age felt that hard.
I'm
and
like,
you know what?
Oh, so poignant. Poignant comedian, as someone, huh? Oh, the great. Oh, the goat, huh? Oh,
as someone who only dates 35 and older, I have to disagree with
what?
This.
Thank you, Matt. Will you make like, a special?
I was
just called 35-year-old
so
pussy.
Yes. I had to fucking calm down. But I was very triggered.
But it was because you're insecure about aging as a woman. It's like, it comes from you. He's not the problem. You know, like, whatever sets you off, you got to look inside yourself.
Totally.
And I acknowledge, like, I didn't want to watch the rest of his special. He pissed me off.
I
was annoyed.
I turned it off.
I was just like, this guy doesn't like women. I'm sick of it. But it really, it's like, I don't like myself. I should be able to hear that and be like, ah, ha, ha. So it's my issue. Yeah. And if you have a problem with anything, it's normally your thing. Why do you only date women over 35? You're how old?
I just turned 24.
Okay, Matt, why? I asked you about this on stage also. I was like, why are you funny if you're so hot? Why do you date older women?
It's just a maturity thing, especially in L.A. Like, I feel like in L.A., girls around my age are just like, what club can I go to? Whose table can I be at? Which celebrity can I fuck? And, like, I'm just so not about, like, the L.A. lifestyle. Like, I want somebody who is either just not into it or has, like, already got that out of their system.
Have you ever dated your age?
No. My first girlfriend, I was 17. She was 19. So it's only, like, 2-year gap is, like, the minimum it's ever been.
Wow. Okay. That's so interesting. What's your relationship with your mom? Can I dissect this?
Oh, great. Yeah. Do you have a couch I can lay on?
Yeah.
It's over comfortable. There in the corner.
It's fine.
Like, yeah. Kick your feet up right there. That's
I'm not like.
She's a single mom.
Your
dad split
much.
Early.
My dad passed when I was like 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. It's so long ago. It's like it didn't happen.
I'm sorry I did that.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I
don't fucking. Your dad. When people say I'm sorry when someone passes, I always kind of laugh in my head because it's like,
you're
I
bad.
Didn't do anything. Why am I sorry? But no, I'm that sucks. So he passed when you were little. It was like you and your mom. Did she like remarry or?
Yeah, she remarried my stepdad when I was like 5, and he and I like never got along day one. He was like the cartoon stereotypical like alcoholic abusive stepdad, like trailer trash.
Yeah.
Like, we just never clicked ever. So, I mean, my mom and I
were still with him?
Close. No, they divorced like a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like
and
that.
And so you don't know him anymore?
No, I haven't spoken to him since I like moved out, basically.
Which
I think he was just as excited as
so
I was.
So you feel betrayed by your mom for choosing a man who you didn't get along with a little bit. There must be something there. I mean, how could there not be?
Right.
So that sucks.
I'm gonna
but
cry.
You still yeah.
You broke
but
it the fuck down.
It's a thing, but our parents aren't perfect and they love us, but they make decisions that hurt us.
But it's not a maternal thing. Like I have a huge problem. Like not in a control way,
but
like
a mommy thing.
No, it's never like, oh, I wanna be taken care of, swaddle me, pay for all my shit. Like I would hate that so much.
But are you very close with her?
No, not really.
Oh,
okay.
No, I mean, yes, like, it's so difficult. My life
now... You are
now,
like Justin Bieber.
Am I tweaking right now? Is it showing? I don't know what it is.
You can't
trace
it. Do you go to therapy?
I did for a little bit, but then my therapist straight up ghosted me.
Shut up.
And, like, I was going for 3 or 4 months. And, like, now I don't want to start over. I'm like, oh, you should have heard the shit I had to deal with, like, 3 years ago. Like, it's so much. I'm like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, do you work on yourself? What do you do?
I mean, I've just got a good group of friends. And working out and stuff, and, like, playing sports helps.
Mm-hmm, 'cause
you,
mm-hmm.
kind of relieve your stress that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is like Carlisle's dating a younger guy. How much younger?
We don't need to say his age because
yeah. then he'll, but how much younger is he than you?
He's 9 years.
9 years.
That's nothing. Yeah. You guys are practically
okay.
Twins.
That's so much for a woman Wait, and a woman to be for a man to be older. 9 years ain't nothing. That's like normal. But
eight years.
I remember my grandparents were 10 years. My mom and dad are 5 years apart. But like the guy's always older. And that's just like generally the way it is. What had you ever dated younger before?
No, and I don't know why, but I can't believe that I didn't figure this out.
It's better, right?
It's so much better.
It's so much better.
Why is it better? Because you don't date younger, so why should we?
No, he's saying a younger guy and an older girl.
Yeah, because like, I'm not going to die soon. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
we
that's
can, like...
exactly what I thought about, too, is like he's going to be there to support me on my deathbed, probably, because I'm not going to have children. So that was an actual fear of mine.
You're going to kill yourself on a bed?
And I feel like stamina is like also like a real thing. Like I have no job to go to tomorrow. So I have nothing but time to fuck you again.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. This is all checking out.
That was Thursday's show, and we're at the end. But because I had to rush through some of these because I'm on a plane, I'm going to give you guys a bonus clip. It is from Monday's show. Rachel Lindsay, who is one of the Bachelorette contestants, and met her husband on The Bachelorette. They got married 2 years after their season. They lasted 2 years, and they're just newlyweds. That show works. They came into studio to talk about their relationship and... whenever Bachelor people are coming through the Sirius studios, I always want them to stop by. And we got to talking about one of my best friends, Nick Viall. If you follow the show, you know my relationship with him. Here's me talking about Nick Viall with Rachel Lindsay and her husband, Brian Abasolo. Brian Abasolo. God, they're such a cute couple. Goals. This is the relationship week on the pod. And with that, I will bid you adieu. Here's the bonus clip. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. Squirt, squirt, jackpot.
It was such a good season.
Thank you.
And
it was dramatic for us because we weren't sure how it was going to go. And then when it was revealed that it was Brian, we were just like, oh, yes. Because normally the woman chooses the wrong guy.
I know. For once, it went the way that we all were hoping it would go.
Brian, you were so... loving and like you just pursued her and you weren't there was nothing bad about you and you were so transparent with your affection and how and your intentions. So we were like, my sister and I watch and Nikki and I watch all the time, and we were just like, it's not gonna go our way. She's not gonna pick him because he's so great, you know. And they
she's gonna pick a Jed.
Yes.
I would never.
You would never. But that's the thing, we trusted you. I know you were always so, you're
my
you were
favorite
so
Bachelorette.
Good. Agreed. Thank you. Yeah. Agreed. You were so, your season was so fun, and it's hard to beat that season. It's been a while since I've been that into the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was. So I wanted to ask you, what drew you to the show? Why did you do The Bachelorette? Why did you sign up Brian? I mean, let's start with Brian. What led you to be booked on this show?
Honestly, I had no intention of going on the show. I was always a fan because with ex-girlfriends, I would watch and I'd be the guy making fun of these guys. Like, oh God, this guy has no charm, no game. He should go home. Like, I was into it.
Yes, it's a great show. And guys that are resistant to it, just check it out and you'll get hooked.
Have
you
watched Josh? Real hard eye contact with me.
Oh, I know. She's looking.
Why are you not watching The Bachelor? Do you watch it? Have you ever watched
it? I have watched it. And I fully embrace the compelling drama. I just am never home at night because of stand-up.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like a social experiment. Yeah. Men, women, dating, you know, how to act,
real.
How not to act. Yeah.
And it's people that say it's fake. Sorry, maybe some of the situations that they're put in are, you know, exaggerated, but the feelings are real. And that's why I love the show. It's so real. And that's why I'm always attracted to Bachelor guys, like ex-contestants. I love them. I'm always like just waiting for them to slide into my DMs.
Because, and they have.
But they have.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We'll
are you going to drop some names?
Yeah, Nick Viall.
Oh!
Are we surprised?
Your ex.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You were on his season, right?
I was.
That was his season.
I was.
Oh,
Oh my God. Oh my and you, God. How far That's did right. you get on his season?
Three. I was number three.
You were number three.
Damn.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, Nick. So,
do we need to share stories off the air?
I mean, he's. He, does, yes. he wasn't I mean, into definitely. Me. He wanted to start a podcast with me, Rachel. I thought he wanted to so bang, and I was so excited. I thought it was my make-a-wish happening when he DM'd me.
You guys could bang and have a podcast. You could be
that's
like
the. That's what I said.
You could be like the Fleetwood Mac of podcasts.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.